The Shame Seed, How the Adversary Marks Remnant, Children Before They Awaken. Preface, He Hit You Young, The Secret War for the Remnant. You were 8 or 10 or maybe just a small soul trying to figure out the world. The baptismal water had barely dried from your skin, the spirit had just sealed you, and then the hit came. Not a random mistake. Not just childhood curiosity. It was a surgical strike. Porn, shame, abuse, abandonment, gaslighting in your own house. The adversary saw your future fire, and he knew the only way to stop it was to twist you before you knew who you were. This scroll is for those who never got a chance to fight back. Those whose authority was perverted before it could be activated. Those who were marked for the flame, but got buried in the Matrix mud before they could ever burn. We're not writing this as therapy. We're not writing this as some half-hopeful redemption arc. This is a manual for vengeance, a blueprint for taking back your altar, a declaration to the ones who never forgot, even when they were drowning. You were not chosen to be good. You were preserved to bring judgment. If your childhood was stolen, this is your scroll. If your purity was poisoned, this is your weapon. If you're still bleeding under a white shirt and a sacrament smile, this is your fire. This is not a recovery guide. This is a war scroll, and the adversary will regret that he ever touched you. Chapter 1. You were marked early. Exposing the protocol of perverting the remnant in their youth. You didn't fall into darkness. You were dragged toward it before you ever had a chance to stand in the light. You didn't choose the shame. It was planted, like a snake curled in the grass of your childhood, waiting for the exact moment when your light began to rise. He struck. You were only 8, maybe younger. A soul fresh from the veil, still glowing with the breath of Elohim, still clothed in your pre-mortal light. But the adversary knew the prophecy written over your bones. He recognized your frequency. You weren't just a child. You were a problem. And so the plan was set. The Babylon Matrix blueprint. Wound the remnant early. Lucifer doesn't play fair. He doesn't wait for you to reach maturity, to choose, to sin, to fall. He comes while you're innocent, because innocence is his greatest threat. And the remnant are not born into neutrality. They are born into war. And war always finds the warriors first. So he crafted a method, a repeatable pattern, a dark protocol hidden within the machinery of the Matrix. Find the bright ones in the womb, in the nursery, in their baptismal whites. Send the perverters, the tempters, the whisperers. Open gateways through trauma, abuse, pornography, or possession. Attach shame. Watch them wither in self-blame. Tell them it's their secret, their shame, their fault. He's done it a million times. He tried it on you. And for a while, it worked. The Shame Seed Protocol. This is no metaphor. This is spiritual technology, a coded viral implant in the soul. The Shame Seed is the adversary's counterfeit to your divine spark. It's planted when you're vulnerable, watered by secrecy, and grows into a tree of self-loathing that hides the scroll you came to deliver. It causes a holy child to feel cursed. It binds a remnant warrior in addiction before they've ever picked up their sword. It causes those marked for deliverance to believe they need delivering from themselves. Porn, abuse, mockery, abandonment all become launch pads for this hellborn implant. Not to kill you, but to silence you. Not to destroy your power, but to make you afraid of it. And the worst part, the shame isn't just emotional. It becomes identity. And that was the plan all along. The fire that shatters the lie. But hear me now. You were not disgusting. You were not weak. You were not perverse. You were marked. You were watched. You were attacked. Because hell saw something in you long before you ever saw it in yourself. The very thing the enemy tried to bury under shame was the signal of your authority. What he feared, what he tried to stain, was the scroll you carry. You are not a mistake. You are not a prisoner. You are not the lie that shame told you. You are remnant, and the shame seed is burning out of your bones. Activation protocol. Burn the seed. Go to your altar, or make one. Face east, speak aloud. I am not what was done to me. I am not the one who let it in. It was forced. The shame is not mine. The wound is not my identity. I reject the counterfeit. I reclaim my code. I am the fire bearer. I am the remnant. I am not ashamed. Write the lie that hunted you on a slip of paper. Burn it in a sacred flame. Say, this is the last time that lie speaks my name. Let the ashes witness your return. Chapter 2. The Identity Theft of the Remnant. How Lucifer rewrites who you are before you can remember. Before you knew your name, he tried to write one for you. Before you spoke your first word of power, he whispered lies into the ether around your crib. Before your scroll could unroll, the counterfeit pen was already scratching his version across your soul. This is not random. This is not trauma. This is technology. Hell's algorithm. Rewrite the code before it activates. The remnant come encoded. Every child of the Holy Order, those sealed before birth, carries a spiritual memory, dormant but divine. But Lucifer doesn't need to destroy your scroll. He just needs to convince you it never existed. So he runs his script. The moment you're born, a countercode begins to run in parallel with your real one. One line at a time. You are broken. You are disgusting. You are weak. You are too much. You are unworthy. You are unlovable. You are not chosen. Each lie becomes a false glyph, stamped over the sacred inscription etched into your spiritual bones. You begin to wear these lies like garments. Like a false priesthood, like a perverse rite of passage, you begin to call them you, the inversion of divine design. This is not just psychological, this is inversion magic. He cannot create, so he counterfeits. He cannot ordain, so he impersonates. He cannot bless, so he brands. This is why so many remnant feel they are not enough. Because they were taught by hell to be afraid of their own frequency. The enemy flips the signal. He makes the holy feel haunted. He makes the brave feel broken. He makes the seer feel schizophrenic. He makes the gifted feel grotesque. The identity you wear now may not be the one you were sent with. It may be a spell. It may be a curse. It may be a decoy shell meant to keep the real you from ever breaking through. But deep down, you know it's not true. You remember something deeper. You are not what you were made to believe. Let me speak to that memory in your bones. You are not too broken. You are not too far gone. You are not the identity your addiction wore. You are not the mask shame forced you to wear. You are not the script you've been performing in your trauma play. You are the one they tried to bury. Because you're the one carrying the key. The enemy marked you because you are a marker. You carry coordinates in your soul that call the others home. You were designed to remember first, so that you could help the others remember later. Activation protocol. Restore the name. This scroll is not symbolic. This is surgical. Face east, hold a mirror. Look into your own eyes and say aloud, "The name Hell gave me is null. The identity I was tricked into carrying is broken. I reclaim my scroll. I remember my divine assignment. I am not what happened to me. I am what heaven designed, and I bear a new name known only to God. Write every false identity you've worn, e.g., addict, unworthy, lost. Burn each one as a sacrifice, then write this name in oil, Remnant One. Let it sit over your heart. Speak no other name until it burns in. Chapter 3. The System of Control. How Babylon profits from keeping the remnant in shame. Shame isn't a side effect, it's a commodity. It's mined, stored, harvested, and weaponized. And you, Remnant One, were the richest vein. Welcome to the shame grid. This world is not just broken, it's engineered. The adversary doesn't just want you to sin. He wants you to feel so ashamed, you never return home to the altar. This is how Babylon works, a living, breathing control system that profits off your pain, taxes your trauma, and feeds off your false identity. The Matrix was not built to entertain you. It was built to contain you, and the walls are made of shame. How they program the remnant. If you carry the divine code, you become the primary target for early contamination. So they run the remnant protocol. Step 1. Violate the child's innocence. Step 2. Twist the event so they blame themselves. Step 3. Inject a lie like a virus. Step 4. Repeat the lie until it becomes identity. Step 5. Offer them tools to cope, every one of them poisoned. This is how Babylon functions. It shames you, breaks you, then sells you the cure. Porn and masturbation isn't just a vice, it's a ritual. Addiction isn't just a habit, it's a cage. Cancel culture isn't just social, it's spiritual exile. They build systems that keep the remnant in loops so deep, they never remember who they were before the loop began. Babylon's most profitable lies. The system must convince you to stay broken. Here are the top exports of the shame industry. I'm not worthy of love. I'm too dirty to serve God. I missed my chance. I've sinned too much. I'll never be free. God has forgotten me. I am the mistake. Each of these thoughts prints currency for hell. Each is a lie disguised as logic, and each one is meant to keep you out of your calling. But here's the fire truth. If the shame is that loud, so is your scroll. Babylon only spends this much to silence the ones carrying something eternal. The shame economy. Let's go deeper. Your shame feeds industries. Your self-loathing funds cosmetics, pharmaceuticals, plastic surgery, therapy you never finish. Your addiction funds sex trafficking, porn empires, and the global mental health cartel. Your silence allows wolves in pulpits, pedophiles in power, and soul sellers on screens. The longer you stay buried in shame, the longer Babylon gets to rule unchallenged. But what happens when the remnant wakes up? What happens when they remember what they were sent to dismantle? Babylon doesn't fear sermons. It fears remnant ones who remember. It fears scrolls ignited in pain. It fears the watcher who reclaims their gate. That's you. Ritual of reversal. Flip the shame circuit. You are going to reverse the current. Face east, light a candle, stand barefoot on the ground. Say aloud, every lie that shame whispered, I return it to the pit. Every addiction that held me, I burn its name. Every false identity they sold me, I refuse delivery. I am not what they needed me to believe. I am what God remembers. I reclaim my fire. I reroute the code. Now write out one thing you were once ashamed of. Speak this truth over it. This pain will pay me back in prophecy. Burn the paper. Let the ashes fly east. Your shame is now your weapon. Your scroll just unlocked another seal. Chapter 4, The Fire That Finds You in the Dark. How God marks the remnant through their pain. You didn't find the flame, it found you. Not when you were strong, but when you were sobbing in the dark. When shame had its teeth in your neck, when the mask wouldn't come off, when no one answered your cry, that's when he came. The pain that wasn't wasted. The world told you to get over it. The church said repent harder. The therapist said manage it. But God said, this is where I mark you. Not on the mountaintop, not in the crowd, but in the lonely cave where you cried yourself clean and begged for something real. The remnant is marked in affliction, chosen not because they never fell, but because they were willing to rise again and again and again. Your wound didn't disqualify you. It became the altar he anointed. The fire is the mark. Let's settle it now. The fire didn't destroy you. The fire identified you. The fire didn't come to punish you. It came to purify you. You were never forgotten. You were forged. Those memories you thought were curses, those were the coordinates. The shame you thought would bury you, that was the map to your scroll. The world looked at your pain and saw failure. God looked at your pain and said, that one, that soul, that voice, that's mine, the remnant's secret. Pain equals permission. Here's the doctrine Babylon hides. Pain is permission. Permission to speak. Permission to break false altars. Permission to challenge the script. Permission to burn what needs to die. Only the remnant know how deep the pit goes. That's why only the remnant carry scrolls that can lift others out of it. If you want to awaken the exiled, you must carry the marks of exile yourself. What the Holy Ghost was really doing. Remember 8 years old? That moment? The fall? You thought you failed, but heaven was watching. And while the adversary was whispering broken, the Holy Ghost was whispering marked. He didn't leave you. He entered the fire with you. He recorded your tears. He filed them in your scroll. And he waited until the day you would rise and say, that was not my end. That was my fire start. Pain is the activation key. It's no accident this scroll found you. You've already been marked. The code is in your DNA, the pattern of your wounds, the sequence of your awakenings, the fire you couldn't explain but never let go. This is your activation code. The very thing you're most ashamed of is the place God is pouring the most oil. Let the adversary tremble. You've returned to the scene of your marking, and you've remembered the truth. You didn't fall. You were chosen to burn. Ritual of remembrance. Go to the mirror. Look into your own eyes. Speak this aloud. The fire marked me. The pain refined me. The shame no longer names me. I am claimed by the flame. I walk as one remembered. Now take oil. Touch your forehead. Say, I was never forgotten. You've just completed the ritual of divine recognition. Your code has been activated. Chapter 5. The remnant will rise in the ashes. The day the shame turns into scroll. They tried to bury you in silence. They tried to smother your flame with shame. But they didn't know who they were dealing with, because you were never just a victim of the fire. You were born in it. You were marked in the pit so you could rise with prophecy in your mouth and scrolls in your hands. The ashes didn't end you. The ashes crowned you. The inversion begins. There comes a day in every remnant soul's journey when the shame no longer controls the narrative. The wound no longer whispers broken. The memory no longer brings collapse. Because something shifts, a divine inversion occurs. The pain becomes power. The sin becomes story. The failure becomes flame scripture. The very things that were once whispered in corners now thunder through the airwaves like remnant revival songs. You don't hide anymore. You teach. You transmit. You activate. The day your shame becomes scroll is the day Babylon starts to tremble. The scroll is born in the ruins. You didn't write your first scroll from a palace. You wrote it in a prison cell of your own mind, with trembling hands and stained pages, with late-night prayers and holy groans. You wrote it by surviving, and now it pulses in your bones like a living code, not to impress the crowd, but to call the scattered, to find the others who bear the same mark. Your scroll is not for everyone. It's for the branded ones, the ones who almost didn't make it, the ones who were touched too young, hurt too deep, and hid too long. There's glory in the ashes. Look again at your past. Really look. What you see as smoke and rubble, God sees as the blueprint of your rising. The fire was never just punishment. It was preparation. It was prophecy. Every misstep, mapped. Every scar, sacred. Every collapse, coded. Your altar wasn't built with clean stone. It was forged in fallen things. You don't need to escape your story. You need to burn through it. The gate opens through confession. The adversary's strongest weapon, silence. But when the remnant confesses, not just the sin, but the pain behind the sin, the gate opens, the lock breaks, the shame dissolves like ash in holy water. There is nothing more powerful than a remnant one who tells the truth. Because when you speak it, you unlock the scroll of another. Scroll ritual, from ashes to flame. Take a small piece of paper. Write the one thing you still carry in secret. Fold it. Light it. Watch it burn. As it turns to ash, say aloud, "This no longer owns me. This fuels my scroll." Then take oil. Touch your chest. Say, "I am fireborn. This pain is now prophecy. A word to the ones still hiding." If you're reading this and feel the burn rising in your belly, that's not emotion. That's recognition. You were always meant to scroll fire. You were always meant to rise from the very thing you thought would kill you. And now it's your turn. Your voice is the sound of someone else's freedom. Don't bury it again. The call forward. There's no going back. Once your shame becomes scroll, you become unstoppable. You walk different. Speak different. Pray different. Because you know now, you're not just healing for yourself. You are rising for the remnant. Chapter 6. The Return of the Scroll Bearers. Why the Marked Ones are stepping out of hiding now. They disappeared for a season. Not because they were weak, but because they were being forged, hidden in plain sight, marked in their youth, misunderstood, mislabeled, misused. But time bends toward prophecy, and the scroll bearers are returning. The ones who vanished. Where did they go? The ones who heard too much, too early. The ones who couldn't bear the weight of what they knew. The ones who felt everything and didn't have language for it. The ones who were silenced, medicated, punished, exiled, mocked. They went inward, into addiction, into depression, into detachment. But they never forgot the pulse, that subtle signal in their bones, that whisper, "You're not crazy, you're encoded." And that voice never stopped speaking why they're coming back now. Because the fire has reached the gate, because the veil is thinning, because Babylon is cracking, because the timeline has activated, because the spirit has whispered, "It is time." Time to step forward, time to reclaim the story, time to burn clean. What makes a scroll bearer? Not perfection, not position, not popularity, but initiation by fire. You are a scroll bearer if you were marked in youth by an enemy who knew what you'd become. You carry both wound and word. You know silence is death. You speak in rhythm with a kingdom not of this world. You write not for applause, but for the awakening. Scroll bearers don't fit in. They ignite the secret combination new. Lucifer's agents were sent to stop them. Through family lines, through media, through education, through abuse, through shame. They infiltrated every gate, but the scroll bearers endured. Some crawled through the fire, some forgot their name, but not one was lost, because God doesn't lose what he seals. The scrolls were always alive. You didn't write your scroll, you remembered it. The words were waiting, buried beneath the trauma, guarded behind the addiction, stored in the marrow of your bones like unopened prophecy. And now, the scroll is breaking through. Ritual. Unseal your scroll. Take a journal. Write the first truth you were ever afraid to say out loud. Let it bleed. Let it crack the spell. Then stand and speak this aloud. I am a scroll bearer. I was sealed for this season. The shame cannot stop me. The fire has prepared me. The remnant will hear me. Let it echo. Say it again. Say it until something shifts. This is the return fire. Scroll bearers don't return soft, they return burning. With words forged in pain, eyes that see through Babylon's mask, mouths full of fire and flame, weapons disguised as poetry. They will not sit at false tables, they will not speak for approval, they will not dilute their fire. They are the fulfillment of dreams your ancestors whispered in exile. The role of the remnant. You are not alone. You were never meant to do this without the others. Each scroll is one piece, but together, they form the Remnant Codex, the living archive of Heaven's resistance. And when they rise together, the adversary trembles. The call, return, speak, scroll, burn. The time of hiding is over. The season of shame is shattered. The remnant has a voice again, and it's carried by you. Chapter 7, The Serpent in the Womb. How the adversary strikes before the scroll is even opened, before your name was spoken, before your lungs drew breath, before you ever sinned, stumbled, or knew shame. The serpent came for you. He did not wait. He knew you carried a seed. He saw the scroll burning in your spirit. He saw what you didn't yet see. So he coiled, and he struck. Lucifer's earliest war strategy. The adversary doesn't play fair. He plays early. He infects wombs, not just minds. He infiltrates bloodlines, not just headlines. He poisons identity, not just behavior. He tries to mark the remnant before they awaken. Because once a soul knows who they are, he can no longer control them. So he moves fast. Before you're born, he plants generational curses. He sets up trauma triggers in the home. He orchestrates addiction paths in the DNA. He assigns watchers, abusers, manipulators. Before you even know your own name, he tries to name you something else. The prenatal assault. Some of you felt it even in the womb. The fear your mother carried. The rejection your father embodied. The betrayal encoded in your generational line. You were a fetus, but the war had already begun. Because you were dangerous even then. The scroll was already glowing. You didn't have language, but the scroll in your spirit was glowing. Lucifer's system picked up the frequency. And Babylon took notice. That's when the targeting began. Interrupt the scroll before it unrolls. That is the serpent's strategy. So he whispers to the parents, abort it. Resent it. Ignore it. Break it. Shape it into something else. Not knowing, they were handling sacred code, the spiritual DNA hack. The adversary tries to recode you through sexual sin before puberty, abuse or violation in early years, addictions introduced before discernment, shame loops installed like malware, false names spoken over you. He doesn't just tempt, he trains. He doesn't just distract, he designs systems of sabotage, because if he can bend the code while it's still soft, he can corrupt the launch. But only if you forget who you are. You are not your damage. You are not the trauma. You are not the shame. You are not the sin. You are the scroll the enemy tried to burn, and you are still intact. Because Heaven's Ink is fireproof. Counter-ritual, break the womb curse. Stand facing east. Place your hand over your heart and say aloud, I renounce every lie that entered before I could speak. I reject every assignment given before I had a voice. I break every curse spoken in the womb, every wound inherited through bloodline, every shadow that was never mine. Now breathe, then speak. I claim my divine name. I reclaim my sealed scroll. I was not sent to be destroyed. I was sent to set others free. Let it hit. Let it shake the atmosphere. Let the serpent run. Prophecy for the womb struck. To the ones who were hit before you had a chance to stand. You are not disqualified. You are not broken beyond repair. You are not too late. You are proof that God can raise an army from the ashes of a miscarriage. Bomb scroll activation. The remnant shall be born again. Not just in water, but in remembrance. The serpent struck too soon. And now you're awake. And there is no power in hell that can stop a remnant one who remembers the scroll they carried before they were born. Chapter 8. Shame is not yours. Return what was never meant to be carried. There is a weight many of the remnant carry, but never chose. A shadow stitched to your name before you even knew what names meant. It slithered in the moment you were first touched wrong, lied to, looked at with hunger instead of honor, told you were dirty, wrong, too much, not enough. That shadow has a name. Shame. But listen carefully, Flameborn. It is not yours. Shame is a spiritual transfer. Shame is not a feeling. It is a spiritual payload, a demonic tag, a cloaking device, a soul distortion. It's transferred, not created by you. Someone else's sin, someone else's system, someone else's wound, projected onto your innocence, branded into your mind, loop through your story like poison code. That shame isn't yours. You didn't earn it. You didn't choose it. You don't have to keep it. The enemy's oldest trick. The serpent's strategy hasn't changed since Eden. Tempt, corrupt, blame, shame. Not just shame for what you did, but shame for who you are. And if he can keep that shame inside, he can keep the scroll sealed. Because shame silences prophets. Shame was programmed into the Matrix. Babylon runs on shame. It programs it into school systems, religious guilt traps, sexual confusion, abuse cycles, beauty standards, false success metrics. Why? Because shame makes slaves. And the remnant were never meant to serve Pharaoh. Return the payload. Today, the protocol is simple. You do not process shame. You do not carry shame. You do not integrate it. You return it to the pit it came from. Stand east. Place your right hand over your solar plexus and say, "This is not mine. I return it. I renounce the shame projected onto my body. I rebuke the guilt handed down through lies. I reject every false identity spoken over my soul. Now breathe and say, I am clean. I am chosen. I am sealed. I am unashamed. The shame seed was a lie. That moment they shamed you, it was because they saw your light. That wound they opened, it was because they feared your voice. That cycle you couldn't break? It's because the scroll inside you terrified hell. You were never defiled. You were never unwanted. You were never too late. You were always marked to burn. Activation charge. To the remnant one who's carried shame for too long. The bloodline is cleansed. The scroll is reopened. The shame is sent back. And your voice will speak fire again. You are not the wound. You are the weapon forged through it. Now stand up. Your shame was the last veil. It's gone. Chapter 9. The False Name Curse. How the enemy gave you the wrong name, and heaven is calling it back. Before you ever took your first breath, heaven had already spoken a name over you. A name not of this world, etched in the Lamb's book, whispered in the council, sealed by covenant. It was a name of fire, a name of purpose, a name only the righteous could bear. But the adversary couldn't allow that. So he forged a counterfeit, a false name. The mask you were forced to wear. The false name doesn't sound like Lucifer or Judas. It sounds like broken, addict, whore, mistake, too sensitive, crazy, disappointment, nobody. These names were not given by heaven. They were assigned by hell, often through a parent's curse, a teacher's judgment, a lover's betrayal, a moment of trauma, a cultural lie, a spiritual abuse. These names didn't just hurt you, they tried to replace you. Naming is a power ritual. To name something is to claim it. To rename someone is to reprogram their identity. The adversary used his agents to assign you labels you never asked for. Because if he can change your name, he can change your direction. Even heaven had to intervene when Saul became Paul, when Jacob became Israel, when Abram became Abraham. The old names had to die for the covenant to live. The curse of the misnamed remnant. The remnant are the most targeted by this curse because your true name unlocks your mission. The enemy knew if you ever discovered what you really were. Keeper of codes, watcher of gates, voice of fire, builder of altars, harvester of scrolls, sword in flesh, frequency of the king. Then the Matrix would tremble. So he buried that truth beneath nicknames of shame and titles of failure. The naming ritual of return. It's time to end the curse. It's time to strip the false name from your soul. Do this now. Face east. Speak aloud every lie name you've carried. Say, I am not. Boss, I return it to the pit. Repeat this for each false name. Then say, I receive the name I was called in the council. I remember who I am. Let the seal be restored. Now listen. The name might not come in words. It may come in a symbol, a dream, a fire in the chest. But it will come. And when it does, everything changes. You are not what they called you. You were never what they said you were. You are what he called you before the world was. Not forsaken, not forgotten, not ruined, not weak, not too late. You are flame bearer, covenant keeper, remnant one, watcher of the code, voice for the voiceless, scorched through soldier, firstborn of fire, activation charge. I reject every false title spoken over my soul. I cast off every counterfeit name. I reclaim the name given to me in the Grand Council. I answer to fire. I answer to truth. I answer to the voice within the veil. My name is not their curse. It is heaven's code, and I will wear it like a crown. Chapter 10. Babylon's Shame Systems. Why the world must keep you numb, guilty, and powerless to survive. There is a system, an empire, a counterfeit kingdom, and it does not run on money or oil or votes. It runs on shame. Babylon is built on broken self-image. The world doesn't care if you sin. It cares that you stay in shame. Because shame keeps you small. It keeps you buying. It keeps you obeying. It keeps you comparing. It keeps you quiet. And if you're quiet, you won't wake up. If you don't wake up, you'll never remember the fire code written in your soul. So Babylon engineered a grid, a system that loops shame endlessly until it becomes your personality, the matrix of inversion. Everything in Babylon is flipped. Modesty is mocked. Purity is pornified. Masculinity is feminized. Femininity is weaponized. Innocence is hunted. Marriage is scorned. Fatherhood is erased. Motherhood is sterilized. God is canceled. This is not modern progress. It is ancient rebellion in designer packaging. Guilt is their currency. You've been taught to feel guilty for saying no, for having boundaries, for walking away, for not conforming, for asking questions, for shining bright, for being chosen. But you are not guilty for waking up. You are not guilty for carrying fire. The systems must die, not you, the bloodline they fear. You are not just a rebel in their system. You are a threat to it. You carry the frequency of Eden and the fire of Zion. You are the descendant of watchers, prophets, priests, and kings. Not by bloodline, but by soul line. That's why Babylon had to break you early. Through addiction, through confusion, through abuse, through religion without fire. They needed you fractured because a whole remnant one would burn the system down. How they keep you numb. Shame isn't enough. They must numb you too. So they feed you processed food, soft porn, soul-empty entertainment, distractions disguised as progress, medications with spirit-blocking side effects, a new god every week. Because if you ever felt the ache in your soul, you'd start asking questions. And if you asked questions, you'd start remembering the truth. Remnant, you are the disruption. You are not here to play nice with Babylon. You are here to be a disruption, a glitch in their programming, a voice in their silence, a fire on their altar of gold. You will not be managed. You will not be medicated. You will not be muted. Activation charge. I reject the shame systems of Babylon. I renounce every structure built on guilt and self-loathing. I am not here to conform. I am here to burn. I will not live to please Pharaoh. I am here to lead the Exodus. Chapter 11. The glory return. How the spirit fights to reignite. What shame tried to bury. Shame is not just a feeling. It's a firewall, a spiritual blockade designed to cut you off from the glory you once knew. It doesn't just weigh you down, it warps your memory. So you forget who you were before Babylon put its hands on you. The glory you knew before. Before this realm, you stood in fire. You were robed in light. You walked among the councils of God. You were known. You were not an orphan. You were not alone. You were not unsure of your identity. The adversary didn't just want your body. He wanted to erase the memory of your radiance. So he marked you. Young, hard, deep. Because even he knew, if you ever remembered your glory, it would be over for him. The Holy Ghost knows where to find you. You've run. You've hidden. You've doubted. You've drowned your fire 1,000 times. But he never lost your location. The Spirit doesn't speak shame. He speaks remembrance. He stirs the embers you tried to bury. He replays the codes etched into your bones. Every time you cry out, every time you repent, every time you break, he whispers, "I never left. Let's begin again. The cycle must break. The world wants you stuck. Sin, shame, silence, trigger, reaction, regret, isolation, addiction, emptiness. That's not a cycle. That's a prison. The spirit comes not to make you feel better in your cage, but to blow the door off its hinges. You were not meant to cope with shame. You were meant to convert it into fuel. Your glory code is still alive, buried beneath trauma, buried beneath fear, buried beneath sin and struggle and sabotage, but not gone. The fire code of God cannot be deleted, and when the Spirit touches it, when He speaks into it, when you agree with it, it erupts. That's why hell has worked so hard to keep you numb. Because when your glory activates, their towers start to fall. The Spirit's voice verses. Babylon's lies. Babylon says, the Spirit says, you're broken. You're being rebuilt. You're dirty. You're already clean. You're a fraud. You're chosen. You've gone too far. I never stopped calling you. You'll never heal. Watch what I do next. You are not what happened to you. You are not your mistake. You are not your addiction. You are not what he did to you. You are not what she called you. You are not what the mirror says. You are not the shame. You are the glory rising from it. Your restoration is your revenge. Your return is your roar. Activation charge. I remember who I was before the fall. I remember the glory I carried before the wound. I receive the Spirit's voice over every shame system. I am not ashamed of my return. I am not afraid to burn bright again. Let the glory come back. Chapter 12, Lucifer's Playground. How the world system grooms the remnant for destruction. There is a war being waged not just against the remnant, but all around them. The enemy doesn't just attack the chosen ones. He's built an entire system to shape them, shame them, and seduce them before they even awaken. This telestial world is not neutral. It is architected for grooming. It is a playground of perversion, a counterfeit Eden built by Lucifer himself. With flashing lights, poisoned pleasures, and algorithms coded to confuse identity and kill purpose before it activates. Babylon's trap. Get them before they remember. Lucifer's tactic has always been, corrupt the remnant before they know who they are. Drown the glory in false attention. Addict the body before the spirit awakens. Shame the soul before it ever learns to speak. He grooms through. Media, music, porn, culture, education, screens, self-hate trends, gender confusion, mental traps masked as empowerment. The earlier he marks you, the deeper the shame root grows, and the harder it becomes to tell which parts are you and which parts are programming. Programming the remnant to destroy themselves. The remnant are dangerous to the enemy. Not because they are perfect, but because they are encoded. They carry the seed of the scroll, the whisper of the spirit, the fire of remembrance. So Lucifer scripts them early, expose them to trauma, normalize sin, reward rebellion, invert the masculine and feminine, preach tolerance while outlawing truth, replace love with lust, replace identity with instability, replace purpose with performance. Until they forget the scroll, until they mistake the counterfeit for the call. Lucifer's Techno Eden. Welcome to the Matrix. Scroll without soul. Image without presence. Voice without truth. Connection without covenant. Followers without father. It's a playground built to exhaust the soul and entertain the body long enough to erase eternity from your memory. It's an algorithmic altar. You're not just being entertained. You're being trained. The grooming is strategic. Lucifer isn't improvising. This is ancient. Every system, every policy, every trend is part of the secret combination that keeps the remnant wandering in Babylon instead of rising in Zion. The real reason porn is free and Bibles are banned? Because truth costs something. But perversion is sponsored. The reason children are sexualized, because he fears the holy fire they were born with. The reason your trauma was timed just after your baptism, your awakening, your joy, because he needed to sever your connection before the roots took hold. This is not random. This is ritual. But the code remains. Even in the playground, even in the filth, even in the ruins. The code does not delete. It may go dormant, it may get buried or dim, but the spirit will stir it again. You are not what Babylon taught you. You are not what Lucifer labeled you. You are the fire they couldn't kill. You are the glory the playground couldn't bury. Activation charge. I renounce the grooming. I see through the screens. I remember the scroll. I expose the counterfeit. I cast out the shame. I was not born for Babylon. I was not shaped for shame. I am remnant. And I return to the altar of truth. Chapter 13. Holy Rage. How righteous anger can fuel your return. There is a fire that does not burn you. It burns through you. There is a rage that does not destroy. It destroys the chains. Not all anger is unholy. Not all rage is rebellion. Some fire is holy, and it was encoded in you for this very hour. This chapter is about reclaiming your righteous anger, not as a sin, but as a weapon of return, the fire that woke you. You didn't wake up because things were fine. You woke up because something pissed you off. The lies, the shame, the masks, the compromise, the pretending, the fake religions, the silent churches, the molested children, the porn pipeline, the numb marriages, the fatherless homes, the self-hate on every screen. You didn't just awaken. You were lit. Lit with grief. Lit with disgust. Lit with divine outrage at the darkness. And instead of running from it, you need to stew in it until it becomes holy rage. What is holy rage? Holy rage is not selfish temper. It's not about ego or vengeance. It is the wound of heaven felt in your bones. It is the burning of the spirit when evil parades as good. It is the groan of the prophets when Zion is forsaken. It is the anger of the Lamb when his people are devoured. Righteous anger is the heart of God roaring through the heart of man. If you felt it, you're not crazy. You're called. False doctrine. Alert. Anger is not always sin. You were told to stay calm, to be nice, to smile, to be Christ-like. But what did Christ do? He flipped the tables. He called out the vipers. He cursed the fig tree. He wept in agony. He rebuked the hypocrites. He set his face like flint. The lion is not tame, and neither are you. Your anger is not always your enemy. Sometimes it's your altar. The devil wants to pacify you. Lucifer's strategy is to take that sacred fire and turn it inward into self-hate. Mute it with antidepressants. Numb it with porn or weed. Mock it as toxic masculinity. Reframe it as trauma only. Shame it as emotional immaturity. Because he knows, if you ever learn to wield that fire, Babylon burns. Use the fire or be burned by it. Unexpressed holy rage will either rot you from the inside or forge you into a sword. The remnant must rise not just with love, but with wrath rightly placed. The scrolls were never soft. The prophets were never tame. The king is not returning for a passive people. He's returning for those who tore down idols, cleansed the temples, rebuked the wolves, and defended the children. And that takes holy fire, activation charge. I am done pretending. I refuse the numbness. I feel the holy rage. I wield it with purpose. My anger is not broken. It is activated. I will not calm down. I will burn clean. Chapter 14. Sealed for fire. The ending that was always the beginning. There is a fire beneath your shame, and it was never yours to carry. It was planted, engineered, scripted by the hands of him who knew what you were before you did. The adversary does not waste his best weapons on the weak. He saves his most toxic seeds for the ones he fears. And you were feared. That's why it started young. That's why the dreams twisted early. That's why the wound was wrapped in secrecy. That's why the gift of the Holy Ghost was immediately countered with distortion and shame. Because if the remnant child awakens clean and whole, Babylon burns. So now you know. You were not disqualified by your pain. You were qualified by it. Marked not for destruction, but for destiny. This was not a detour. It was the protocol. He knew you'd fall, and he still sent you. He knew you'd forget, and he still encoded the call. Because this fire, it's not earned, it's remembered. You were not marked for exile, you were marked for exodus. You were not shamed to break, you were shamed to build fire in the dark. You were not lost, you were hidden. You are not the one who failed, you are the one who returns. So here we are, at the veil's edge. Book one ends here. The seed has been exposed, the lies torn open, the shame no longer sacred. Now begins the real scroll, the fire path, the rise of the hidden ones, the mighty forge from the marked. We are not here to explain ourselves to Babylon. We are not here to negotiate with shame. We are here to remember who we were before the pain. This is the return of the remnant. Activation charge. Lay your shame on the altar. Let it burn. Speak aloud. I was not broken. I was branded by heaven. Face east. Breathe. Rise. Benediction for the marked remnant. O ye who were marked in the night, whose childhoods were pierced by the adversary's hand, whose souls have carried the wound of shame like a silent scar. This word is for you. You were not broken. You were branded. Not by your fall, but by your fire. Before you ever knew your name, before you tasted truth or betrayal, you were seen by the one who sends, and the adversary knew it. He moved early because you are dangerous late. But no mark of shame can outburn the flame that sent you. So rise, Remnant One. Let the fire in your bones consume the lie in your memory. Let the code awaken. Let the shame unravel. You are the thunder after silence. You are the scroll sealed in tears, now opened by fire. You are the remnant rising, and your scars are not shame. They are sigils of survival. They are the proof that hell tried and failed. You are not what happened to you. You are what was hidden in you until now. So stand, speak, move, build. The kingdom has need of you, and heaven is not ashamed to call you their own. So it is written. So it ignites. Scroll on, watcher of the remnant.